Alright, you ready? You recording? Okay, we're recording. And hello everyone, welcome back to the Drunk Poet Society. My name is Taylor.
And I am Felice. Welcome back, guys.
Yes, another quarantine episode for us. Socially distant, on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it's lost the novelty. The novelty's gone. This is just life now.
Yeah, but hey, at least we still have books, right?
That's very true. So many books.
So today,
God, I've read so many books.
Yeah, I have probably not read as much as you. I will say I've been listening to a good amount of books, doing a lot of work. Like you said, when you're doing puzzles, I have a paint by numbers that I'm doing right now. So mm-hmm. when I need to chill out, I will put on a nice audiobook and paint my adult paint by numbers, which once that's finished, maybe I'll post a picture of it because it's pretty cool.
It's going to be super cool.
Yeah, it's slow going though.
Yeah, puzzles, you get a little bit more immediate satisfaction, I suppose.
Yeah, it looks like a hot mess right now, but I think it'll turn out pretty cool. I'm excited about today's book. I'm going to jump right into it because I have a fun little story. And when I moved to Australia, my second roommate, so I was probably 21 at the time or something like that, she was obsessed with vampires and she was obsessed with True Blood. And so just to intro the book, we read Dead Until Dark, right? That's what it's called? Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say Dead Until Dusk and I keep knowing that's wrong, but it's Dead Until Dark by Charlaine Harris.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm so proud of myself for knowing that without looking at anything. And so she was obsessed with True Blood, and I had not read the book or anything at that time. And so she had a birthday party that was True Blood themed, or like vampire themed, and we went out to bars and stuff, and they were all dressed as vampires, and I just decided to dress as Sookie Stackhouse. And so I just had on like black shorts and a white shirt, and I had gotten off eBay a little badge that said Merlots, and I'm going to post those photos on our story later so you could see younger Taylor with a bunch of vampires dressed as Sookie.
Did you give yourself puncture marks and everything?
I did, and I did little like drops of blood kind of coming down. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. So those will come up.
I read most of this series when I was, I don't know, like 19 or 20 when I worked at Barnes & Noble, just because, and they're crazy easy to blow through. I never finished it, so I think at this point in time, like, maybe I'll read the ending, but it wasn't really of the series, but, like, yeah, exactly. It wasn't thought of, like, highly reviewed. I think fans were really kind of pissed off at the end of it, so we'll see. But I also have seen the whole series, but when they were airing on HBO.
Yeah, my boyfriend and I just did a rewatch of the first episode, and while still entertaining, it's rough to watch. And not just because, like, whatever. It's just, you watch it now, and no one really looked that good in the first episode. Like, it was just very weird. Yeah, I don't know if I would, if this came, obviously, technology advances, but if this came out today, I probably wouldn't be the biggest fan of the series, but there's a nostalgia factor to it, where I'm like, I'm probably going to keep rewatching it just because.
It's always funny to me when I watch an HBO series from, you know, even like 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh, like, is this the quality that all HBO shows used to be? Because, like, you watch shows now, and you're like, oh, okay, that's, like, the special effects and all of those things are, like, very impressive. And maybe True Blood got better throughout their series, but you're probably right about the first episode.
Yeah, it was rough to watch. But paired with today's book, we are going with another glass of wine. I know we just had a glass of wine. Merlot had to happen during The Woman in the Window. Mm-hmm. But really, even though now thinking back on it, we could have really done any cocktail because there's a bar involved. So literally mm-hmm. any cocktail probably would have gone. Yes. But we decided on a nice Cabernet because that is what he orders when they didn't have the right True Blood.
Any True Blood.
Oh, they didn't have any. In the show, I think. Oh, no. I was going to say in the show, I thought they just didn't have, like, typo available or whatever, and it was his favorite. So, yeah, he ordered a nice KM. Geez.
Yeah, I've got Lacaze Private Collection Cabernet. It's a Central Coast wine. I don't know. It looks very, very dark and blood-like.
I have mine in a nice Chronic Cellars glass. Even though I'm not drinking Chronic, it's just I thought it was cool because it has a skull on it. And I'm drinking Gnarly Head Cabernet. Because that's what was open, so that's how I choose.
Well, cheers to you, ma'am.
Cheers, clink.
Clink, clink.
Not bad, not bad. No, it is 2:30 in the afternoon, having a nice glass of red wine.
And not that time really matters anymore, but it is Saturday.
Yes.
So, not drinking in the middle of a work day, I guess. But yeah, it is kind of, it does feel weird. I feel like if I was on a patio right now, I would probably not be ordering a Cabernet. But this is a nice one. Tastes good.
It has been excessively warm here lately, and so yeah. I've just not been drinking as much red wine as usual. Mm-hmm. So it's actually nice. I'm enjoying this change of pace again.
Yeah. Well, and you know, now that it's open,
you have to finish it. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into this book.
Okay, awesome. So as far as narration goes, how do you think of first person Sookie Stackhouse as our narrator for this book?
Yeah, I'm all right with it for sure. I think I was trying to actually think about that if I would have preferred like an omniscient narrator or not. But I think the cool thing about her is that she has the ability to be a bit omniscient, being that she has a superpower, kind of, and she can read people's minds, or feel them, or whatever. She understands what they're thinking or feeling at the moment, except for select people. And so you do kind of have a bit more information than, say, the previous narrators we've had in books like Woman in the Window, who is a very narrow scope of a story. We have a bit broader of a scope of a story with Sookie narrating. And also, I just appreciated her point of view, because she was, like, kind of the crazy one in the town, you know? And she was kind of seen, the amount of times she called it her disability, and, you know, it was just like, wow, alright, this is a...
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if other telepaths would agree. So if you're a telepath out there, you know, let us know. Do you consider it a disability?
Maybe. I mean, it would be... she explains that this being quite annoying that she can hear everyone. And it's like, it takes a lot of effort for her to put her guard up and not hear people's thoughts and stuff. So, you know, maybe it's not the most convenient thing. When people ask, like, oh, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And everyone's like... Actually, to be honest, I think most people I ask, they're like, I would never want to read everyone's minds.
want to read everyone's minds. Ever. Yeah. Oh, man. And it does make sense why it would make... not only dating, but even just meeting people really hard.
Yeah.
So, no, thank
you. Or even, like, could you imagine going on a job interview and they're like, oh, well, love your resume. And then you just hear them say, except for you went to, you know, Cal State whatever instead of a UC school. And, like, they're just, like, secretly judging you.
Oh, man. Yeah, there would be a lot of judgment in the world. Yeah, I don't think that anybody would guess that. Nope, teleportation. That's my superpower of choice.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Getting places is always the pain about traveling. I just want to be there.
There was one that I thought of recently, and that's why, sorry, I went silent for a second, because no. I was like, I came up with a really good superpower idea the other day, and it was very basic, because it's nice, and now I'm blanking on what it was, because it wasn't a typical one, but I thought about it, and I was like, that'd be great, because it's not crazy enough where people would notice you have a superpower, but it makes things so convenient, and if I think about it, I'll get back to you, but let's continue.
Being
with
able to pick the ripest produce.
The perfect produce every time. Or be like, okay, that's actually a fun one where you're in the grocery store and you're like, okay, well, this avocado is ripe now, but that one's going to be ripe in 3 days, which is perfect. So I want one now and I want one in 3 days. That'd be a great superpower. I'm on board.
I mean, I've been doing that with my avocados since kind of moving to social distancing and whatever, I used to get my like produce box every other week, and now lately I've been like, it's okay if it comes every week, so that way I can get all the things I need. But every week I get avocados because the new ones are ripe by, I mean the old ones are ripe by the time the new ones arrive, and it's like this nice little cycle. Anyway, that was super important. So Sookie, lives with her grandma in her grandmother's house in Bonneton. Louisiana. Bonneton. Grandma seems really cool and nice and stuff. Her brother's kind of a player.
Ooh, a major player. Everyone's guy. Yeah, everyone's in love with him. Oh, Jason.
Oh, Jason Stackhouse. I think they did great on casting, if we're talking True Blood, along with... I think the actor that they got to play Jason was great. Also, the guy that plays Jason and Bill are both English, so when you hear them do interviews outside of their southern drawls, it's amusing.
I love the introduction of Bill the vampire. So I know maybe that's skipping ahead too far, but no. So she's, she works in Merlot's, which is the bar, and Sam runs the bar. They have an interesting relationship. Sam clearly has feelings for Sookie. That's a hard one, because it's not like there's a blame to place, because I don't think Sam is being particularly inappropriate to Sookie in many ways, but at the same time, I don't know if I was Sookie, I would feel comfortable working that long for someone who I knew had these feelings, and you were certain about it. It wasn't like this weird, like, oh, does he, doesn't he, or is it a flirtation? Like, no, you clearly don't feel this way about Sam. Sam clearly feels this way about you. I just wouldn't feel as much like a comfortable working environment for me. What do you think about that relationship?
Again, back to the I don't want to know what people are thinking ever. It would make me super uncomfortable. Like, maybe she's just so used to everyone bearing it all out there for her all the time that having a boss, like, because he treats her well and doesn't come on to her, even though he's in love with her. I'm going to go as far as saying that he's in love with her. Maybe she's just like, well, this is better than other crappy jobs that I could take, and at least he's going to treat me well and isn't skeevy,
or as long isn't, as I stay like, out of his head. He's not calling it my disability like everyone in town calls this a disability. He treats me, I guess, normally to the best extent.
But she has trouble reading him too, which is also very interesting, especially as you get further into the series.
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing. Like I said, kind of hinted at before, is that she can pretty much hear what everyone's thinking, except she has trouble with Sam, and then we meet Vampire Bill.
Vampire Bill. Oh, my God.
Bill? Your name's Bill?
It seems as if Sookie tries to, like, live her life under the radar and just kind of get by and live her little simple life. And then as soon as Bill comes into the picture, she gets kind of like this hero complex or something, like, oh, well, now I need to take a stand. And it's like, was this part of your personality prior to this? Like, did you hear things in people's heads and think like, oh, I need to fix that? Not like, I don't know if you've watched it all, but that Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, like, she hears music, or, like, she essentially, people sing to her their subconscious thoughts, and then she thinks like, oh, I gotta fix it. I didn't get that vibe from Sookie at first. Like, it wasn't until Bill was in danger, jumping ahead, I don't know, maybe like 50 pages in the book or whatever, I think that's probably all in the first episode of the show, right, where he gets caught by drainers. It's not until then that she's like, oh no, I gotta step in.
Okay. Yeah, it is interesting, because she doesn't seem like a strong person at all, to be honest. Like, and maybe she's stronger than I'm giving her credit for, because she has this thing that makes her different, and she's still, like, while people think she's weird, she's still, like, an upstanding member of society, and, she is able to put up her guard all the time, which apparently sounds exhausting. But, yeah, she doesn't seem like the one who's like, I'm gonna, help all these people. You're right, she meets Vampire Bill, and maybe because of the context where vampires just became legal to be vampires, and they're able to be out in public, and she finds it fascinating. They hadn't had a vampire yet. She hadn't met one. And it was just like, wow, kind of, she just immediately felt like this is something that I wouldn't want to lose from this community because it was, like, the first vampire in town. So maybe she's like, I don't want them to all go away because this is super fascinating. And so maybe that was her, or I don't know what word I'm looking for. You know, that was, like, her motivating factor. Yeah, motivating factor to...
I mean, and when it comes down to it, this is a supernatural romance. Like that. So we've got a little bit of a... I don't want to call it love at first sight. I also don't want to call it lust at first sight. But for whatever reason, like, because of his silence, like, Sookie feels this automatic connection with Bill. And because he keeps asking her, like, what are you all the time? I think he's got some kind of, like, draw to her as well. I don't know. All of the scenes in the show and every time that happens in one of these scenes in the book, like, they say, I love you so early. It just makes me, like, groan and facepalm. Like, okay. Like, I have to remember that this is a romance novel, and most of the romance novels I've read in the last, like, year have all been modern, and it seems like they're a little bit, this is going to sound terrible, smarter about having it be more realistic as far as, like, falling in love, and that was not this. Like, they liked having sex with each other, and so now they're in love.
Yeah, it was interesting, a little reminiscent of Twilight in that, you know, when Edward meets Bella, it's like, oh, I can't stand her scent, and there's something immediately about this girl that is, like, so drawing. And it's kind of that same tropiness where it's, like, not the scent thing, but immediately it's like they were drawn together by some magnificent force. And, you know, I get it. You're right. It, at the end of the day, this is a romance novel.
That's the genre.
So, but it was a bit...
There was some cheese. There was definitely some cheese. So beyond their relationship, we've got a bunch of really fun characters, but the through plot. Okay. All in all, this series is called the Southern Vampire Mystery Series. So you can imagine there's some element of, like, problem solving and gumshoeing that needs to happen in each of these books. And Sookie was the key in this one. There was a murder. Two murders? Two murders was, like, the beginning of this,
no,
right?
Yeah, it was two murders and then followed by Grandma.
So spoilers. There, yeah, the book started where we had one murder, and then Sam asked Sookie to stop in on a girl who, I guess, had been to work in a few days, who liked to have fun with the fellas or whatever kind of, you know, euphemism they used in the book.
Yeah.
So she stops by and dun-dun-dun, also dead. Same way as the first girl. So there's suspicion and all of this. But because her brother, the playa Jason, had slept with both of these women, he was a suspect. So she's like, oh, crap. Okay, now I got to put my little, what do you call it, like Sherlock Holmes hat on and listen in to see who...
That
Save
was the
my
funniest,
brother.
Though. That was the funniest because it was like, oh, yeah, now it's my job that, what, while you're at the bar, you're just going to listen to a bunch of conversations, like, just in hopes that whoever comes in is the only thing on their mind is going to be like, oh, my God, I murdered these two girls. Like, it was just like, I mean, I appreciate the fact that she was trying to help out her brother by using her disability superpower. But at the same time, it was kind of like, what do you think? You're one bar in this whole city. What do you think you're going to accomplish here?
Well, obviously all killers go to bars. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, that's got to be it. But because we're getting to know all of these little people. We get to know her friend Arlene and her brother's friends and Arlene's guy and her kids, and you can also see, like, little hints of, is it racism when it's vampires? Just, like, bigotry. I'll just call it bigotry.
Yeah.
You've got just, like, blatant bigotry all over the place. Not to even mention, I don't feel like there were a lot of people of color in this book. So we didn't actually hear about actual racism, which probably exists.
Yeah.
Because the main character in the series... Oh, I guess Lafayette is a person of color.
And
but
so
Tara,
is...
Tara's not in the book. I mean, she's becomes a character in the book, but she's white. She is not a person of color. But you've got this bigotry when it comes to vampires and listening in and all of this judgment and, like, how could you be with one? And, oh, no, like, they're going to kill you, probably. Yes. Yeah.
But, I mean, in all fairness, like, the difference between, like, racism and vampirism, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it's like one of them is clearly deadly. Like, clearly vampires consumed people up until the point where they got synthetic blood. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's a fear factor there. That
so it's understandable when it's not all like hunky dory and copacetic, but not so veiled themes of bigotry in the South. So as they're developing this relationship, Sookie, you know, is talking to Bill and is like, I just need to know, like, if these girls were fang bangers, like, who, also, can we talk
fang
about that?
Bangers.
Can we talk about that?
Yes, we can talk about that. You know, I want to know if the reason this book got written was someone had a dream, or Charlene Harris had a dream, and in this dream there was a vampire, and someone just shouted "fang banger," and she woke up and she's like, "I have to write this book
because I have to write this. I'm inspired."
Yeah, that terminology. I mean, I'm gonna say it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's prolific, but Bill tells her about a vampire bar. Like, ooh, Fantasia.
Again, a great name. Inspired. Fantasia.
So they go to Fantasia, and she's, like, walking around with these pictures and being conspicuous as hell. Like, everyone else is dressed in leather, and she walks in this, like, white and red sundress. Oh, man.
And that's where she meets vampire named...
Eric,
thank you.
Eric and Pam.
Eric, who is immediately quite obsessed with Sookie.
Especially once she not so subtly kind of, like, tells them, like, oh, there's a secret cop in the bar, like, you gotta get out. And they're like, ooh, how do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, cool, I have a superpower. But that fascinates him even more. So you're wondering, you're like, okay, so Bill has this fascination with her. Eric has this fascination. So maybe it's just a vampire thing, or, you know, she's just a sex pot, or...
Well, so far, like, where we are talking about in this book, we know that vampires exist, and then humans exist. And that's kind of what we know of in terms of supernatural. Mm-hmm. And so when I feel like in books, when people introduce supernatural elements, there's always a question of where does this end and begin? Like, well, if vampires are now real and they exist in this universe, what other possibilities are there? And at this point, all we know is that vampires exist.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Sookie.
Yeah. Well, and that's my point, is we don't know what Sookie
Closet
is.
Telepath.
You know, no, so like, know. So... all we know is that she can kind of read these minds, but which is also interesting because I guess up until the point where they really declared, well, vampires exist and they're valid and they're legal to, like, just be part of society, they kept calling Sookie's ability a disability because they were, I guess in my head, they were trying to write off any type of supernatural element because they were in the same realm that we are now, like, as humans on this earth, in this universe, that we're, you know, while you might believe in ghosts and whatever, we haven't, like, proven, you know, any kind of supernatural elements,
right?
You know, so in their universe it's kind of like, oh wow, now that we know that vampires exist, what is Sookie and what else exists?
Well, maybe we'll find out more. Is that's all we get in this book, isn't it?
No.
Okay. I wasn't, see, again, because I've read two more after this, I'm like, is that at the end of this book? Is that the beginning of the next book?
No, we get another reveal.
There's a collie involved in that one. Okay.
Let's come back to that. All right.
No.
So.
Okay, so Eric finds out she's a telepath. So not only is she solving her own mystery, like, now she's getting called in to solve Eric's mysteries. And I think that is probably a pretty decent spot to take a little break and we can come back.
That sounds like a good plan.
Some Fantasia. Yeah.
All right. See you in a minute.
All right. All right, folks. Welcome back. So we're at Fantasia. Sookie is summoned. I think it's, what, like, after hours or something like that. And she is supposed to listen to humans to see who has been stealing money. And
Which is funny, because it seems like such a human problem that these vampires are like, we as vampires need you, human telepath, to tell me who's been stealing my money. And it's like, all right, I guess this can happen too in vampire world.
And because of that, like, regardless of what happened from, like, that's not really important plot points, whatever happened from that, except for the fact that, you know, she was doused in vampire blood, and that's gross or whatever. She is now thought of as a tool in this respect, and that comes into play forever, for the rest of forever. Now, now Sookie is, like, for hire, essentially, and because, except it's against her will.
And because, like, there's a hierarchy in vampire world, we find out Eric is above Bill, and so kind of Bill has recognized at the moment whatever Eric says goes, so if Sookie has to do this thing, he's gonna be like, look, I can protect you as best I can, but you have to do this thing for Eric, like, I don't really have a say in it, you know?
So throughout it, you know, she's doing all this investigations and stuff, but I want to get back to Sookie and Bill's very healthy relationship. So let's see, 25-year-old virgin. I don't want to read into tropey kind of, like, I understand why Charlene Harris was like, oh, okay, she doesn't have a lot of experience with men, because who would necessarily want to read the mind of their partner the whole time? Like, probably not. Doesn't sound fun. Or even, like, spend the time to get close to someone to get to that point. So, you know, she's just got this immediate thing with Bill. He can't hear her. Cool. Let's have sex, like, the second time that we've ever met. Whatever. Yep. Like, I'm not slut shaming. And at the same time, it turned into, like, this, you've never done this before. And I don't know if I didn't like it because it was cheesy, or just because I didn't like it, but that wasn't for me. Like, yeah. It doesn't feel realistic.
And also apparently a part of the whole, not to get too graphic, but part of the whole vampire pleasure thing is they like to also bite when they're having sex and drink a little bit of your blood. And some of the best spots are, like, the neck or the thigh, like the inner thigh, you know. So, you know, Sookie at one point says, every time do you have to bite me? And he's like, no, but, you know, it makes me feel better, blah blah blah, you know, like, it's
more fun. It felt really weird as far as consent goes. Like, you could tell that she wasn't 100% into it all of the time, but the way that he said it, when they were having that conversation, he was like, well, you know, like just a little bit, like, it's not really as good if I can't do that. It's like, ooh, it felt almost like a condom conversation where you're like,
it doesn't feel as good.
What? That's I don't know, like, it feels like it's going against consent to the one thing that I'll take out of our next book. I just finished the chapter, actually I think it was chapter one, on fuck politeness. Was the chapter in the next book, and the whole thing is like, just because you've been raised to be polite doesn't mean you have to go along with things that other people are saying. And that's how I feel about Sookie. She's like in this first relationship she's ever had, doesn't know what to do, she's 25 years old, never had a relationship, and it's like, oh, okay, like, I guess you can bite me, because it's not as good for you if you don't get to bite me. You're having to take, like, iron supplements, and...
Yeah, she got to the point where she was extremely anemic, and then, and then she's taking iron supplements because she was so tired, and he goes, can you stop taking iron supplements because it tastes bad? It and tastes you want to be like, I'm trying to stay healthy. Don't eat garlic
because it tastes weird.
You just want to yell at him and be like, yeah, this, you're right, this is the condom conversation, kind of.
Yeah.
But also, quick question. Was there a conversation where he can't, like, impregnate her or anything? That was
one-liner. Was, like, because she was questioning, when she went over to the house and his, like, creepy, scary vampire friends were there, she finally had her question answered as to whether or not they could be aroused or have sex, basically. She was like, can vampires have sex? Is that a thing that can happen? And I think she saw someone who was very aroused and was like, oh, yep, okay, they can do that. And so when she had the conversation with Bill, he was like, yeah, no, we can't produce offspring. Not in that way. But we still it's happening. Don't worry.
Well, since you already said fuck, I was gonna say like, oh well, they fuck.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mark this as an explicit episode. I don't think we've had
The next one's gonna have to be.
Yeah, the next episode's gonna be explicit.
And mostly because of like quoting other people, not even my own thoughts. But I have lots of my own thoughts. Let's see. I was trying to find
something. So we find out that Grandma dies. And yes. It was when Sookie wasn't home and
Grandma is murdered.
Yeah, sorry. Grandma's murdered. And we start to piece together in this part of the book, the common thread between all of the women getting murdered is that they've had relationships with vampires. Mm-hmm. And so we think it's kind of this like hate of these women thing bangers. Someone is killing them because he thinks it's gross know the gender.
We don't know. Or the species.
Or the species. Could be a vampire. We don't know. Jell's vampire or whatever. But we realize that the person who murdered Sookie's grandma probably was aiming for Sookie. And Sookie, of course, is in a relationship with Bill. And so that's where we're kind of heading in terms of who done it. And mm-hmm. What else is happening at that point?
Sam's judging Sookie for being with a vampire. Mm-hmm.
Judging, but also jealous.
Yeah, I'm sure that's 90% of it. I'm sure that as much as it was a secret that there were vampires, like I have a feeling it was like not actually much of a secret, but whatever. So I guess I can come later when we talk about Sam.
Well, let's just jump ahead. I really want to talk about Sam. This guy I have problems with. And I know, like, he's portrayed as the nice guy friend protector. And mm-hmm. I don't know what he's actually supposed to come off as. But I'm sorry. We find out that more supernatural shit's going on in this episode. I'm going to start cussing now because this is an explicit episode. But there's more supernatural shit in this universe. And we find out. And at first you think, oh, maybe he's a werewolf, but he can just change into animals? Is that right?
He's just a shapeshifter. He has to, like... He said that he keeps a book on his table to a picture of a collie, because you have to, like, picture the animal in your head in order to turn into that animal.
And we also find out the
collie for the first time the night that Sookie goes to help Bill from the rat trays. I don't know whatever their name is. But she sees him that night, but we don't actually interact with the same dog until she takes the dog home.
Yeah, because she's like, oh yeah, this dog that always hangs around the bar, like, come on, buddy, and takes him home. And, you know, he's, like, sitting on the bed, and she's like, no, you get to sleep on the floor. And so he, like, sulks to the floor, and then she lays down, turns out the light, and then she feels the dog get into bed with her, and she's like, oh, that's cute, he just wants cuddles. And you're like, in that moment, you're like, okay, you know, I don't know if I'd have a stray dog in bed with me. I love having dogs in bed. I'm totally pro having dogs in bed. But I don't know if I just, like, picked up this
strange
dog and was like, yeah, you can come into bed with me. And then she wakes up.
And it's a naked man.
It's a naked Sam.
It's a naked Sam. And as you can imagine, like, even though his reasons were, I'm going to say 51% pure. Like,
so slightly more pure than...
There's a murderer on the loose. He wants to make sure that she doesn't get offed. Like, that's most of the motivation. Like, you can see that. But I'm sure that 49% is like, she's describing like changing and getting ready for bed, and she was like, and he was just like, the dog was just staring at me, which is a little weird. Like, no kidding. Your boss just saw you naked for the first time. So
yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry, but okay, let's just put myself in Sam's shoes for a minute. Let's say that, you know, I want to pretend that my goal is to just protect Sookie and make sure nothing happens to her. You could be like, oh, I'm a dog. I'm going to go wander out of this room, like, and get some water while you change your clothes. Like, you should know decency, because then she wakes up to a naked Sam and he's like, oh, sorry, I was gonna change back and get out of here, or like, I was gonna be a dog and get out of here, and then I just fell asleep and I was so cozy and blah blah blah, and he's just standing there naked. I'm like, just because she finds out you're some supernatural being doesn't mean you've lost all decency in the world. You don't, like, it's just beyond me. At that point, I would have been like, Sam, whatever professional or personal relationship I ever had with you is over. I quit today, and that's Bye. It.
And she's just kind of like, oh, Sam. Like, she gets over it very quickly, because she's like, you're right, there is a murderer. Like, I should be protected. I don't know, man. The male character, like, if Sam is the male character in this book that has the most tact and decorum, then what? Because he kind of is. Like, even, like, the little nice outside character of JB, like, he's just sweet and stupid and, like, wants to sleep with Sookie. Jason is an idiot and thinks with his penis. And Bill, who knows what's going on with Bill? Eric's probably the most honest of all of them.
You know what?
Like, yeah, I'll give him that. He's got no reason. Yeah. Like, later in the series, as I'm, like, going back through the series, because I just finished the third book, I'm remembering that I respected Eric, I think, more than anybody else, just because it doesn't seem like he has a hidden agenda. Like, his agenda is very clearly placed out there. You know exactly what he wants, and his means of getting it are not particularly honorable, but he's also been a vampire for thousands of years, so apparently honor goes away with that. But going back to the human part of this, so yeah, she's in this relationship with Bill that we may or may not agree with. She's got this weird relationship with Sam. There are lots of people who are weirdly obsessed with her.
Yeah.
But we do still have a murderer on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going on with this? So she's getting, like, little clues here and there, but not really. Like, she found out that these girls go to vampire bars. She realizes that she was going to be... That whoever killed her grandma actually wanted to kill her. But who did it? And then there was one last murder, and it was, like, moments after Jason was at her house, right? It was, like, a girl he had just slept with. Alex? Because he slept with Maudette Pinkins, who was one of the ones that died, with Dawn, who was Sookie's co-worker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who the last one was, but I think it was... Maybe her name was Alex. I don't remember. But Jason, like, was with her that night, and people saw them at the bar together, and then, oh, she was dead. So he gets arrested. So it's even more, like, pressing, like, oh, no, I need to figure out who this is. And, like, Sam agrees to, like, watch Sookie during the daytime or something, right? And Bill's got her at night, or some really kind of, like, screwed up babysitting system.
And then...
And then
Bill has to mysteriously go away for a bit.
Bye.
Yeah. And so he goes to wherever... Don't remember. He has to go away to
New Orleans,
and he's staying in the Vampire Hotel. That's right.
Yes.
I don't remember what it's called, but exclusively Vampire Hotel, catered to vampires. And so they get him, or he arranges for a different babysitter to stay, and it is Bubba.
Bubba! Oh, I forgot that Bubba comes in this first book. Oh my God, Bubba is not a character in the show and sorely missed. Like, I think that this was hilarious, the addition of Bubba in these books. Oh my goodness, I love it so much.
Bubba likes to hunt animals.
Yep, he's into cats.
Yeah, but he also was interested in the collie. He was like, oh, when's that collie coming back around?
And she's like, oh no, you can't have him. Don't eat him. He's my dog. Oh, shucks.
Yeah.
He did the same thing with her cat, though. Like, she has a cat, doesn't she?
Yeah,
like, and... don't eat my cat, please, thank you.
Yeah.
But then it dies. Oh, right, the cat dies in this one. Oh,
yeah.
I forgot about that. So Bubba's great. Bubba is the artist formerly known as Elvis.
Yes.
And just, I love that so much, that he just got, you know, psychologically messed up being because of what, too many drugs or something? Was that the reason?
Yeah, I think something like that. And so he doesn't, like, don't mention that he's, you know, that's who he is. Call him Bubba and only Bubba.
Call him Bubba. Don't ask him to sing.
Yeah. And apparently Bubba owes something to Bill, which is mm-hmm. why he's agreed to just, like, stay in the woods outside of Sookie's house. And
I think Bubba owes Eric.
Ah. Sorry?
I think that Eric is the one that calls in, like, the, hey, babysit. And at that point in time, you're not really sure whether or not, or maybe Bill asked Eric, but I'm pretty sure it's, Bubba is, like, the responsibility of Louisiana. They're like, okay, yeah, we'll take care of him. Cool. So, I don't know if that had something to do with it, but something happened to Bubba one night.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Bubba is supposed to be watching Sookie. And Bubba's almost caught somebody, like, lurking around her place at some point, right? And was like, yeah, they just ran away. Oh, no. So we find out the hard way who has been murdering people.
Dun, bum, bum, bum.
I don't know. So did you watch this whole season? Or
yeah,
did you know already who was the murderer before you read the book?
No, I totally forgot it, because I watched the season 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Just curious if you remembered who it was. So, did you suspect? Were you surprised? What are your thoughts on that? Because I remembered, so it's hard for me to go back and say, like, oh, man, I didn't even see it coming.
Well, so it turned out to be, remind me of her name.
Renee. Arlene's
yeah,
guy.
Renee. So Renee, so Arlene, who works with Sookie, it was Renee who is responsible mm-hmm. for the murders. I don't think I saw it coming. I think once it was there, I think it was a nice job of kind of like tying it all up and understanding why mm-hmm. all this was happening. But I definitely didn't see it. I don't think I saw it coming, actually, now that I think about it. I don't think I was like, I knew it was, you know, him.
I think in the show they do a better, if you're looking to drum up a little more suspicion, I think in the show they make him more suspicious. Like, you have some interactions with him in the book, but I don't think that it's enough to be like, did he
do it? Yeah. I mean, to be honest, all we know about, like, Renee and Arlene anyway is that, Sookie watched the kids. It was kind of like, oh, Auntie Sookie, and, you know, and mm-hmm. then they really
at
didn't
the same
wanna...
time they weren't they were super uncomfortable with Bill coming over.
Yeah, didn't want the kids to be watched while Bill was there. But then finally, Sookie's like, look, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna watch kids. Blah blah. Bill's great with kids. You know, so maybe that's a plus for him in terms of the relationship category. Even though he can't have kids, so maybe not. I don't know.
No, he already has great grandchildren. So great great grandchildren probably. So he doesn't.
But we find out, you know, that's how Renee, like, knows mm-hmm. some things, is he's been over to Sookie's house and now knows that there's a vampire, you know, watching over her and all this stuff. And also knows things about her house, like, you know, when the gun
goes
missing.
He took her shotgun or something.
Yeah. Mm. So it makes sense, but I think you're correct in that there wasn't enough story, like, maybe throughout the book for him to even be a suspect on my radar until literally right before I find out that it was him who did the murders. Mm-hmm. And I've only watched the first episode recently, so I'm going to probably rewatch some of the episodes and see how his character kind of developed. Like, his character's introduced in the first episode, but we don't really know anything about him. Mm-hmm. But in the book, I felt very disconnected to him. Like, all I knew about him was through Arlene.
And I feel like I enjoy a murder mystery more when, during the payoff at the end, you're like, oh, and, like, you're putting pieces together in your brain. I didn't get to do that much in this one. And I don't know if that's because in setting up this book, she wasn't just writing the mystery of, like, what happened in Bon Top. She was setting up this whole alternate world, which is our world, just with, like, a little additions. But it seemed like she was setting up 5 more books just because of characters. And that took precedence over the plot development of this book as opposed to the through plot.
Or maybe the primary, you know, genre of this book is romance with a subplot being a murder mystery. So it's like, if we were reading something that we wanted to be like a Knives Out-esque type of whodunit, you would want there to be multiple suspects that you really don't know who did it. And in this book, you didn't know who did it because you didn't know enough people until you found out more about Renee, you know?
Also, at the same time, we can talk about how this... in its filmed ideation is much more of a romance novel almost than this one. Like, this book is very, what was the distinction we used last time? Closed door, almost? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very, like, Nora Roberts-y book, where you're starting and you're like, ooh, they're making out, and ooh, it's going places, and then it's like, and then the next morning, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't need all of my romance novels to be like, kiss quotient.
Reminding me of the kiss quotient.
I'm okay with not all of my romance novels being like the kiss quotient. And for something that could be like an steamy vampire book, it was just kind of like, it maybe fogged up the window a little bit on that meter. Like, if you want a steamy vampire book, there's a series, and I haven't finished it. I think I read, like, the first four of them, again, back in, like, Barnes & Noble days, by J.R. Ward. So, like, if you're looking for incredibly explicit and just, like, bought, like, oh, okay, vampire book, except the vampires only have relationships with other vampires. All right. So I guess that's, like, the opposite of this. But that one's J.R. Ward. That's called the first one. Oh, my God. Okay. The title of the first book. Just came back to me. It's called Dark Lover.
Yes.
You're convinced.
I'm in. I guess we should just keep going with this vampire theme.
I didn't need like incredibly sexually explicit scenes. I didn't need that. But at the same time, it's like, what kind of book are you? Tell me. Pick a lane. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's true. I guess also because it is that kind of closed door romance book where it's like, you're right, it's the lead up and then it's the day after you usually get. You're opening yourself to maybe a younger audience as well, which might be more of a target for like a vampire romance, you know, like maybe. Like a Twilight. It's like a step up from Twilight, and not in
sex in this.
Yeah, well, not in terms of like exactly, not in terms of quality or anything. Like, you know, by that I just mean like if Twilight's for young people, this might be like the slightly like young adulty, you know, version of that, and then from there it's 50 Shades of Grey.
There's three columns, three categories of romance. That's it. Children, inexperienced teenagers, and 50 Shades of Grey.
And moms.
And moms. All right.
You know, I don't know. But then, of course, the series decided to be like, well, we love the concept, but we need all the sex we can get, so let's do as many sex scenes as possible, as like as softcore as we can be and still be allowed to be on television.
Yeah, there's almost as much nudity in True Blood as a whole as probably Game of Thrones. And the interesting thing about Game of Thrones is I read all those books also, and the difference between how much nudity and sex was between the books and the show is much greater than True Blood. Like, True Blood is it's kind of like close to how much sex and nudity, like, if you were watching this, you're still going to get a lot of boobs. But Game of Thrones, going from the book to the show, like,
I've started listening to Game of Thrones. Nudity. I started listening to the first book because I've not read any of them.
Is it read by a British guy? Because I feel like it should be.
Yeah, it is. It's actually, okay. I think it's really well done. It's going to take me a minute to get through it because it's not my primary thing. But
it's probably like 20 hours.
Oh, 24, something like that.
Oof. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But,
well, I'll get through it. This, I mean, since I'd say in the last week I've read three of them. So they're quick. Like, all of these books are under 300 pages. I wouldn't listen to the audiobook. Like, I started to listen to the audiobook for the first one because I ordered this box set. Because, believe it or not, the box set was, like, $7 on eBay. And I was like, that's seven books. I will buy that instead of one book, which is the only reason why I've read so many. But I started listening to the audiobook. I was like, oh, I'll get ahead of it. And it was terrible. And I hated it. I don't know why. I did not like it. So maybe 2, 3 through 13. I think there's 13 books. That's better, but...
No, I read this one too on my Kindle. Shout out to LA Public Library. I would totally read more. Pass those books along, because I think it's a quick series. And as much as, you know, we can make fun of characters, you can do that with any book and like poke your holes.
Oh, yeah.
It's an entertaining read, and I'm excited to like rate it, because I mean, from enjoyability factor, I can tell you it's going to be a higher rating than like other romance books for me. So,
and I'm in it for side characters. I'm in it for things like Bubba and Arlene and Eric and Pam. Like that is why I'm reading these books. It's not because I'm like, oh, Suki's such a valuable character. She makes really great choices, and I always trust her taste in men. That's not
I have a serious question for you before we write.
Okay.
So we've done a few vampire books. We did Dracula. Mm-hmm. We did Twilight. Mm-hmm. Have we done that? I remember asking you this question, but now we have a third vampire to add in there. It's Vampire Bill. Who would win in a fight? Edward, Dracula, or Vampire Bill?
I think I'm still going to go Dracula. Like, isn't he still the oldest? Like, Bill's about 150.
I think hierarchy, he's still the oldest. Edward's
a pansy.
Yeah, he can run fast, but he's just sparkly.
He's sparkly. Like, he's a fancy vampire.
He could take a hit, but I don't know how much he could do, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, Bill, I think I'm still going with Dracula. What do you think?
To be honest, we don't know much about in this first book. Like, extensively. We know about kind of the rules they've set up. We know that he's trying to assimilate into society. But we don't know his strength in this first book, you know?
Eric is Alexander Skarsgård. Which means he automatically wins.
Eric's not in the mix.
Okay, well, if this were a different one, I would say Eric. But since I'm using the ones that you have told me to choose from, and you're the boss, I'm going with Dracula. Do you agree?
I agree. I concur. I think Dracula's still going to beat them.
Yeah. Yeah, Dracula's scary.
Dracula and his YouTube series. I loved that episode of Dracula. If you haven't listened to that one, I actually really enjoyed it. We talked about what Dracula had a YouTube series, what it would be about, and, like, would he show up on camera? And
that was great. That was excellent. Since being stuck at home, actually, there was a series that I binged. I haven't watched a ton of series, but I did Penny Dreadful.
Oh yeah,
I think it's on Netflix. I don't think I watched it on Showtime, but it was a Showtime show that was on a while ago, and I really like what's her name from James Bond. Now I can't remember her name, but the cast is great. Everyone in it: Timothy Dalton, Patti LuPone. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in some. You don't want to watch True Blood, but you're interested in supernatural, cool stuff from the 1890s. Penny Dreadful's for you. Yeah,
I'm going to shout out, I know I already did this on a vampire episode, but favorite vampires of all time, What We Do in the Shadows. Great show. Only getting better.
This season has been so good.
So good.
Everybody needs to watch it.
Love Taika and Jermaine. They are doing just such an incredible job. I think it's mostly Jermaine Clement on the series. I think Taika just gets a credit. He's busy, you know, doing movies now.
No big deal.
What We Do in the Shadows, they're hilarious. And it's probably my favorite interpretation of vampires.
Since FX, like, merged with... there was some kind of merging that happened, probably the Disney thing. I don't have to wait or watch it on FX. It all just shows up on my Hulu now, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy about that. So, yes, I agree. Watch that. Watch that. I don't miss it. Can't miss it. Okay, so I don't remember if I did the drink or the book last time. Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'll do the book if you want to do the drink.
Sure.
I just got to think of a number.
Drink. trying to think of, are there significant numbers?
Not really.
All right, I'm going to do it out of, I'll do drink first.
Sure.
12, just because, okay, 12. Okay. 12 fang bangers.
12 fang bangers. Okay, so what do you give your wine out of 12 fang bangers?
So I had Gnarly Head Cab. Yeah, I enjoyed it for a nice mid-afternoon drink.
there are no rules anymore.
I'm going to give it 11 fang bangers. Definitely would have another glass, maybe in a couple hours. I have some other things I have to get done, but it was a good cab. I would recommend, so I'll go 11 fang bangers.
Yeah, I'll go 11 on this. I'd say when it comes to red wine, we've talked about this before, mostly on the last episode, because Merlot is not really either of our thing. Cab is kind of a go-to for a lot of the colder months for me. Hard to go wrong with a good cab. So I'm going to give it 11. This is the Lacaze Private Collection. I don't know. I got a box from nakedwines.com, and they try to facilitate distribution for smaller labels. So good for you, Lacaze, for getting into people's bellies. I don't know. All right. So as far as the book goes, I should rate it out of more than this, but I'm going to rate it out of 5 murdered ladies.
Okay.
And I'm including Renee's sister that he killed. So, because we've got Renee's sister, whatever her name is.
Maudette.
And Maudette, Dawn, whoever Jason was with, that girl, and Adele, grandma.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm going to give it 4 out of 5, just because it is not a perfect book, but it is not marketed as a perfect book. It is marketed as a Southern vampire murder series, a mystery series, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's romantic, even though it's problematic, and obviously I have read 2 more books, so I must not give a shit about the fact that it is problematic.
Clearly, that's fine with me.
That's not a priority for me.
I'm gonna do 4 out of 5 as well. I know we did the same thing this week, and that's fine, but I'm gonna go 4 out of 5 murdered ladies, and I'm gonna save Grandma. One that didn't get murdered was Grandma.
There you go. Okay.
Enjoyability factor was there for me. Nostalgia factor was there for me in terms of like reliving my True Blood with my roommate Sylvia. And I will continue reading more in the series. It's not for everyone, and I get that. It has its flaws. We can make fun of the stupid things that happens, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna read more. So. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. I was just thinking too, as like a nice final thought, not that this is a final thought at all, but do you think that in Renee going around and murdering everyone, that that was like an extreme form of kink shaming?
Ooh, interesting. I don't know if it was meant to be interpreted as such. Maybe that's like the element where it's just like, no, literally, this is what a supernatural world looks like, is he's just super. I don't think that was supposed to like translate into something as deep as kink shaming, but if it does,
like, then, he's killing people for their sexual preferences. I mean, obviously it's not their only sexual preference, because they're all having sex with Jason too.
It's Jason and vampires.
Maybe Jason's special too, like, we know Sookie's special, maybe Jason is special too. He's got some kind of like magnetism.
Like, that's it. He has glamour, or whatever it's called. But he's not a vampire, has glamour.
I think in layman's terms, that's called charming.
Ah, interesting.
Charming the pants off the girls. Cool, 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 cool. Well, I will finish our next book, so we can get that out there.
I have a lot of thoughts on that one.
I kind of don't want to finish.
I did it, and I have faith that you can too. Me too. So coming up next is Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered.
And that's a sentiment I agree with. I would like to stay sexy and not get murdered.
Yeah. And that's by the hit podcasters of My Favorite Murder, Karen Kilgariff.
Kilgariff, yeah. And Georgia Hardstark.
Yeah. And I really liked the podcast. I think And I don't want to get into the review, but this is just not the book I was expecting to read, and that's what's making it hard. So
yes, I agree. I feel like that's not the first time we've done that, but I can't really recall what other books that we've had that impression with. But if you have thoughts, oh God, please tell us about Dead Until Dark, about True Blood, about Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered, or My Favorite Murder, any of those things, if you're a murderino, then hit us up on Instagram at @DPS_podcast and on Twitter, same handle.
Totally. You can always email us if you prefer the electronic mail, drunkpoetsocietypodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us a cool voice message. Haven't gotten one of those in a minute. Not that I'm trying to be mean about it. That came off way more.
It seems like you're a little thirsty for voicemails.
I would really like to hear anyone's voice really besides fun. Yours.
You know, we just need some variety, right?
Opinions about anything. We don't even have to play it on the podcast if you'd prefer to keep it not. But yeah, basically reach out. We're trying to make this a community vibe. We want to hear your opinions. We want to hear what books you're reading. We're going to be trying out some new stuff moving forward to try and get it into like a virtual book clubby sense. So
especially since we're all here. So definitely my advice for the week as far as books go and what I have been doing is head over to Libby and see what is available right now. And you'll be able to experience, I don't know, something random that you never really thought you were going to pick up. So that I would do that if you're looking for something to read. Find something amazing and then tell us about it because we need more suggestions.
Yeah, I know we've mentioned this before. If you don't already have a library e-card and you have one available to you in your town, like city, definitely get yourself a public library e-card. And you can get Libby, you can get Hoopla, you can get access to a lot of audiobooks and a lot of e-books. And that's an awesome way to read for free during this time. Escape into a different world like Hogwarts or Narnia or something.
Or, you know, do your best to order from small people. I know that Powell's is still shipping really, really fast, and they've got all their used books, Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. I would be a hypocrite if I said don't order things from Amazon, but try and shop local or borrow them, you know?
Yeah. Also, I don't know if anyone's checked this out, but I've been on Bookmooch before, bookmooch.com. It's a cool place. I haven't been on recently and I have a few credits, but basically you start off with a couple of credits and then it's an online book swap. So you only pay for postage. And if you give a book to Bookmooch, so if someone takes yours, you get more credits. So then you can mooch like two or three or four books off of some other people. And literally the only thing that's being exchanged is the price of postage. So that's really fun because you can say, hey, I only want to exchange with people in California. You're paying for cheap postage. You're still accruing credits. It's a fun way to swap books.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it.
That's it. We hope you guys have a good one. We will catch you next time. And just always remember that it's not drinking alone.
If you have a book.
Bye.
Bye.